Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome to another episode of Forecast F1, which we are recording after the Mexican Grand Prix. And I'm being joined, as usual, by a Canadian, but this time, unfortunately, it's not Sam. Sam has fallen a little bit ill, so hopefully Sam can be back with us after the Brazil Grand Prix next week. But we're being joined by Carlos, who's also from Canada. Carlos, welcome, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Where in Canada are you from?
I'm out in Winnipeg, so basically middle of Canada. Nothing really out here, but yeah.
Nice. And you've been a Formula One fan for a long time. How'd you get into watching Formula One?
I've been watching motorsport for basically all my life. So I started out with like the American side of stuff and then slowly progressed to the worldwide of just everything from F1 to IndyCar to rally to motorbikes to whatever. Like, I just watch all of it. It gets a little bit overwhelming sometimes, but you know, part of the fun.
And who do you support, a specific team or driver, or how's that?
Yeah, I'm a Leclerc fan, so been a rough little while, but you know, we've been going good lately, so can't really complain.
Yeah, it's a good comeback after being disqualified last race, now being back on the podium. So it wasn't a bad race for him at all.
No, it was really good. And pole, obviously, which, one of those traditional, just Leclerc pulls it out in qualifying.
I was going to say, that's been happening quite often recently with Leclerc not being able to convert poles into wins. But still, he's been in great form on the Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. He's been flying for a long time on Saturdays. So been pretty good.
All right. So So let's talk a little bit about the race that we had this weekend. Of course, it was after having two sprint weekends, this was again a regular traditional weekend with two training sessions on the Friday, with a practice session on the Saturday, and then qualifying on the Saturday. And I think, one of the main stories during qualifying, I guess, was Lando Norris not making it into Q2, not even setting a lap, if I'm not mistaken, in Q1, because he didn't set his first two laps. He couldn't finish, or he didn't finish. He made errors, I think, on both laps. And then the third lap, we had an Alonso spin. So that was quite the upset. And Lando, he didn't actually start last because we had Yuki who took grip penalties. And then we had Stroll who started in the pit lane.
And Sargeant. I think Sargeant was classified Lando. I think Lando did get a time on the board but wasn't representative at all. First run, tried on mediums for some reason, couldn't get the lap together, and then second lap he made a mistake on the softs, and then third lap was ruined by Alonso's spin. It was a weird spin, really, but one of those things, I guess.
It was a low speed spin. It looked a little bit, from a couple of angles, it looked like it was, I don't know, it looked very weird, but... you're right. Sargeant actually got 10 grip. Was that for because a couple of people were investigated for what they did under the yellow flag, right? Was Sargeant, did he get the penalties? And then was that for overtaking under the yellow flag?
Yes, that was for overtaking under yellow flag.
Right. So yeah, we had well, like we mentioned, we had a Leclerc pole. We had actually Ferrari locking out the first row. So that was exciting going into the Sunday. I think one of the other upsets that we, well, looking at the starting grid, I guess, was seeing an Alfa Tauri that high up and it being Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, second row of the grid. Who saw that coming?
Yeah,
and he was legitimately like on that pace throughout Q1, Q2, Q3, all the way through. It wasn't like a fluky, you know, he was in the window in that Q3 session. Like, he was genuinely there the whole way, out qualifying even Sergio Perez, which, I mean, I guess we'll get to him later. But yeah, an outstanding qualifying and just weekend overall for Daniel.
Yeah, it was interesting because when I was thinking about my picks on the Friday, I was looking at the long runs also for the practice sessions on Friday, and there were like two outliers there that well, what I thought weren't supposed to be there. You saw that Ricciardo actually set very good long runs already on the Friday, as well as Bottas, who had didn't have such a great race. But yeah, it was. It was interesting to see Danny Rick so high up, and yeah, like you said, him starting in front of Perez on his home Grand Prix. That was definitely some material for some rumors and some talk.
Yeah, the Drive to Survive people are going to be looking the lips of that one, because there's so many things you can use from this weekend to just amp up the drama of Perez's nightmarish season in general. So
his season didn't start as a nightmare. He had a good start of the season with his wins in Baku and Saudi, but yeah, it has been turning as of late into a bit of a nightmare, especially you know, this being his home Grand Prix. What did you make of the three cars, Verstappen, Leclerc, and Perez going into that first turn?
I think that was just more of a racing incident. Perez maybe squeezed them a bit too much into turn one, but I mean, can't really fault it. It's just kind of, yeah, as I say, one of those three into one does not go. If Perez left a little bit more space, maybe he would have been able to make it, then he probably would have gone off the circuit. We saw Leclerc go off the circuit. It was unfortunate to see, but I think it was just, yeah, racing incident in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think Leclerc also clarified himself after the race under the pressure of a lot of Mexican fans talking about, well, I mean, he couldn't go anywhere, basically. It was Perez turning in, and Perez said, I think, after the race that he wasn't aware that they were three wide, but I think he kind of must have been. I mean, he must have seen that Verstappen was on the inside of the corner. So, yeah, of course, if he would have gone wider there, he wouldn't have come out as first. So it's like he said, he took a lot of risk and he paid a high price. But yeah, kind of unfortunate, I guess, for a lot of spectators coming to see him specifically drive there on that track. But then again, he finished on the podium already twice. I think both in 21 and 22, he was third. So yeah, this time a little bit less lucky, but going into the race, I think there were a couple of other interesting things unfolding. I think we saw a couple of drivers trying to make a huge undercut, like Norris did, and Tsunoda also did. Both went into the pits like really early. Norris was actually the only driver starting on softs. And Tsunoda started on mediums, but he pitted even earlier. And they actually had a pretty good race leading up to the incident, or one of the rear tires of Magnussen basically breaking loose and causing a yellow and then red flag, which tremendously helped the race of Norris and Tsunoda, or just their strategies, because at that point everybody could, you know, go in and change their tires. And I think both have made a lot of headway during the race already at that point. But one went on to achieve a pretty good finishing position. Talking about Norris, the other one, Tsunoda, Yeah, tumbled down the order by hitting a couple of people along the way. That was a little bit clumsy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he was still like he was contending for a pretty high position, but yeah, it's kind of a little bit squeezing with Piastri down to turn one. Got spun around there, came back on, and then I guess I didn't really see what happened to him after the incident, but what it didn't look like it ended the best for Yuki. But overall, I mean, it was still pretty good considering he started like last, but what could have been, I guess. I mean, Daniel was up in P7, so or P6, whatever it was, then goes P7. So I mean, the possibilities there, the what could have been is there, but I think overall he's relatively happy with how his weekend and race went.
Yeah, I guess after all, still a pretty good day for Alpha Tauri, because they made it off that 10th place in the constructor championship. So they're now tied, I think, with Alfa Romeo. I might be mixing it up. I think Haas now is last, isn't it? Aren't they?
I think they're tied with Williams, I believe.
They're tied with Alfa Romeo. So Haas is last with 12 points, and then Alfa Romeo and Alfa Tauri are both with 16 points. So they are they're tied at eighth, I guess. Both at shared eighth.
Well, Alfa Tauri will win the tiebreaker because Ricciardo has the better finish of the four drivers.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. True. No, great day for him, I guess. I mean, after coming on for two races, after they put him in that seat from the Vries, he had two races before the summer break. Obviously, then damaging his hand, and coming back last week in Austin, I think he nurtured some issue there during that race, and this being his first race, really free to show his. His capabilities, and I think he performed pretty well. And I don't know if you put the two together, Perez and him, and see the contrast on a weekend like this. I don't know how how difficult he's gonna make it for Red Bull. What do you think? Are they they're set still for Perez in that seat for next year?
I've learned many times over the years that you can never really trust what Red Bull says until it's official what they're doing. I mean, Ricciardo's going to make it a difficult choice, I reckon, because, I mean, by the sounds of it, Daniel's found something and, like, a groove in Mexico with the car, with his natural ability that he can just continue to do. Maybe not as good as results as what he got in Mexico, but, you know, score points and contend for points in a weekly basis. And Checo, I mean, he's been on terrible run of form, especially the last couple of weeks have been especially bad. So it's definitely going to be an interesting conversation that the Red Bull team is going to have. Whether or not they choose to bring Daniel in for 24, I mean, that's really anyone's guess at this point. I don't think it's likely, but I'm not completely ruling it out of the realms of possibility. But yeah, I just have to wait and see what entirely happens. I mean, obviously, there's been rumors today, or as it was last night, but today as well, of, you know, Checo might be dropped and might be bringing in Daniel or maybe even Fernando. So I guess we just have to see how those play out, but it's definitely going to be a difficult choice, and it's kind of difficult to say that Checo should be in that seat next year, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, so far there are rumors, and there's actually a lot of rumors flying around at this point. I even saw somewhere someone saying that actually apparently Aston Martin's going to give the last drive of the season, the last Grand Prix, to Drugovic instead of Alonso. But yeah, I guess all of these are rumors at this point. So let's see what really happens. What did you make of the battle between, you know, you then you said you were a Leclerc fan. Did you think that Leclerc would actually, because I think a lot of people were expecting the medium tires to fall off after, well, during that last stint, after the red flag, and, you know, Hamilton being on mediums, a couple of other drivers, actually, the other Mercedes also was on, Russell was also on mediums, and we had both Ferraris behind Hamilton on hards. I think, or at least I was, somewhat expecting that the mediums would drop off in the last 10 laps or so, and at least Leclerc would have a overtaking chance on Hamilton, but that never happened. And Hamilton, just even though sending out messages on the radio of saying that he felt it is going to be a very, very long stint on those tires, but he eventually even made the gap bigger than it was, and managed to finish second. It was quite interesting to see.
I mean, I'm a bit surprised that Lewis extended the gap at the end, and he even passes half of the Grand Prix at the end of that medium stint. I'm not too surprised that Lewis was able to keep ahead of Charles, but I am definitely surprised that Lewis was able to extend from, I think it was like around 5 seconds.
And even set the fastest lap on those tires, right? Because he said that in the last lap.
I believe so, yeah. I'm surprised Lewis was not as quick as he was at the end of the stint, but I'm not too surprised that Lewis was able to keep the tire alive and stay in front of Stroll. Unless the tires completely fell off a cliff and we're losing like a second a lap, I didn't really see how Stroll could get the position back. And then obviously you have to overtake the guy, and it's not the easiest to overtake in Mexico, so yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting to have the medium versus the hards and which one's better and all this, but I think in that case it wasn't too much of a difference and too much of a change as to what it really should have been.
But scoring this P2 and taking fastest lap gives Hamilton 19 points, so he reduces the gap that after Austin was 39 between him and Perez, he reduces it to only 20. And actually, I was just thinking that if that disqualification wouldn't have happened in Austin, then they would have been tied, because that meant that Hamilton, who took P2, would have scored 18 points over there, and then Perez would have moved one place back, losing 2 points. So that would have been a difference of 20. So the difference is 20 now. If he wouldn't have been disqualified at Austin, they would have been tied right now. So I think the pressure's on to Perez even more so than it already was. I guess it already was, but it's going to be, he's going to be feeling Lewis's heat. And I don't know, I was saying it on our last episode of the podcast as well. It's funny because Lewis then always sends out these messages to the radio about being worried and this and that, but he actually does get his head down and performs. And I don't know, if I was Sergio, I would be I'd be slightly worried at this point, but yeah, we already mentioned that a couple of times.
Lewis just does that in general. He does complain quite a bit in general. He has done that for years, and voiced his concern, but then he still gets onto it and after it and performs these amazing things. So yeah, I mean, pressure is definitely on Pecco. If he loses that P2, I would not be surprised if he gets dropped. But yeah, and I think the more interesting thing with that is if Lewis takes P2, I believe it'd be the first time ever that someone finishes P2 in championship without a win that season.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Pretty cool to me. Obviously, I deal with stats all the time, so I mean, kind of what's interesting to me. But one of those things. Pressure's on. See what happens. Brazil, typically, Mercedes is a little better. So, I mean, Lewis is definitely going to be there or thereabouts this weekend. So, yeah, the pressure is really going to ramp up in these final few races, and it's going to get really tasty between the two.
Yeah, it is. And I think Hamilton, the last few races, although actually Russell came back quite well after the summer break, but Hamilton's also showing the difference between him and Russell at this point. The other difference I'd like to state that Norris finishing. He finished fifth in the end, compared to Piastri, where, you know, I mean, not that Piastri had a bad race, but I mean, he was also hampered a little bit by the touch of Tsunoda. But Norris starting at the far back end of the grid and finishing fifth, and Piastri finishing eighth. I think that was quite a contrast as well today. So Piastri seems to be pretty good on qualifying days, but during races, I think Norris actually has decently outpaces Piastri in most of the races, even on those where Piastri did well, like for example in Japan. I think Norris is consistently still the quicker driver, or the better race driver at this point. Of course, we shouldn't forget Piastri is a rookie, so
Piastri is still a rookie, still learning. Next year is going to be very interesting between the two. So I feel like it's going to be a complete dogfight for who becomes the top man at McLaren. And I mean, that's going to get very spicy because Lando's very much like the McLaren golden boy, but then there's the rumors of him going to Red Bull in 25, 26, or whatever it is. I mean, yeah, it's going to potentially be quite feisty and fiery next season, but this season for sure, Lando's been the better driver. But I mean, as I said, as you said, even Piastri is still a rookie, so to expect him to come in and match Lando straight away is just unrealistic.
True.
So, yeah.
That's a good point. The other driver scoring points that we haven't mentioned yet is Albon, who actually did it on only two tires. He had a He also finished the race on a long medium stint. Pretty good for Albon, because I think it's one of the, I don't know, it was the eighth race where Williams scored points, something like that. I think that's quite an achievement. I think it's been a couple of years since that has happened. So I think Albon is performing very consistently in that car and sort of outperforming the car, although it's always difficult to tell how good the car is when you have drivers that are performing so different from one another. I think in the end Sargeant even had to go into the pits on the last lap. He didn't even finish the race because he had a fuel pump issue, so yeah, a bit unfortunate for him the race after scoring points, but those were the, I think, oh no, well, we haven't mentioned Ocon yet, actually. Ocon finished 10th and scored that last point, which I think for Ocon is, you know, first of all, good to finish ahead of his teammate who finished 11th. But yeah, he was, he's been quite unlucky in the past, throughout the whole season. Ocon has had a lot of DNFs, so good for him to finish in the points, even though it was only a single point. But I guess... decent enough result for Alpine, although I guess they'd like to be a little bit further up the grid, but yeah.
It was decent. I mean, Alpine, we know their struggle is straight line speed. Mexico, you do need a lot of straight line speed because you have super long front straight and all that. He maximized what he had available to him. Took a point, which is what, you know, they're all there to do. Pretty good weekend for Alpine, all things considered.
No, you're right. Actually, the Renault power unit is not the most powerful unit amongst those engines on the grid. But then again, actually, in former years, the Renault engine was actually always very good at high altitude. So that was one thing that I was sort of hoping. I'd placed Ocon and Gasly on 9 and 10 in my, no, I think even on 8th and 9th in my predictions. But talking about predictions, let's move ahead to that section, and let's talk a little bit about the forecast scores of this weekend. All right, so we had 553 people playing the game this weekend, and we had a average score of 48.2. Well, I always ask the guest, how many people do you think predicted a correct podium with putting Verstappen on P1, Hamilton on P2, and Leclerc on P3? How many people out of 553 do you think got that right?
I mean, that's a pretty safe podium. I don't know, like 110.
Okay, well, you're pretty far off, but I gotta say, I would have been very far off as well, because I would have thought that many more people would have gotten this right, but there was only 10 people who got the podium exactly in that order correct. So,
Okay.
Yeah, 110 minus 100. But to be honest, I would have guessed towards. I don't know, but I, you know what happened? I think a lot of people actually hoped or thought that Perez would actually do well in his home race. So I saw a lot of podiums with Perez being on there. Anyway, so let's move to the podium of forecast for this weekend. Our winner was Robert Hütter from Austria, who scored 90 points. And that's actually his second win. He also won the Miami Grand Prix. So a second win for Robert. And he had, 90 points is actually a very high score, given that on a regular weekend, you can only score maximum of 102 points. That is if the fastest lap is given out. So yeah, 90 points is more than decent. He had a correct podium. He also had the Sainz on P4. He had Norris on P5. He had Russell on P6. So he had P1 until P6. He had correct. And he scored 50% of the Piastri points. So yeah, that got him a 90 points. The number two this weekend was Alinaf Mutukulu. I might be pronouncing that name completely wrong, so sorry for that. He's from Malawi and scored 82.5 points. Also had a correct podium. Had Norris on P5. Had Russell on P6. Had Piastri on P8 and also scored that last point for Ocon on P10. And our third podium finisher was Kevin Scano from Italy, who scored 82 points. It's actually his first time playing, so pretty decent for first time. He had a correct P1 until P4 and scored a lot of 50% scores, with the other drivers just being one place away from the correct position. So with Robert scoring 90 points, that actually gets him into the top 20 high scores worldwide. He's now on a shared P16 with the winner of the Canadian Grand Prix, which was Itzana Fokkema. So we look at our the overall competition, the accumulated points, and we see that our number one, Jesus Diaz from Uruguay, he scored 49 points, which was 8 more points than number two, Tobias Joly from France. So he's actually extending his lead by a little bit, and he now has a lead of 16.6 points. And our number three, Friso Hofker, scored only 40 points and thereby loses his third position. We have a new P3, and that's the first time that Taha Umar from Turkey is on the first three positions. She scored 53 points, so way to go. I think she's about 18 points away from P2. So yeah, still quite exciting. Anybody can still win this. And let's look a little bit at our scores. So let me first actually say that Sam, you're not here on the podcast, but you did outscore me. You scored 46.5 points. We actually went for the same podium. We both of us went for Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton. But you ended up with more points. You scored 46.5, which was P297 this weekend. And you went from P69, you actually went down to P77. Myself, I thought I would do quite well, because I actually left Perez out of my top 10. So I thought that would, on the first lap, I was definitely not cheering for Perez, not to be able to complete the race, but I did think I could score a decent amount of points, but I only ended up with 42.9, which was P377 this weekend, and I dropped from P55 to P63. Carlos, do you remember the podium that you predicted? You went with Verstappen, Norris, Perez. So but you actually you had Sainz on P4, so actually did score full points for Sainz. So that got you 12 points. You scored 41.1, so that was P410. You actually move up because you started playing a little bit later. You go from P494 to P482. So that's not too bad. And actually your final finishing position is going to be your new race number for next year. So wherever you end up, if that's, say, you end up being P400, that means your racing number for next year is going to be 400. So the aim should be to finish as, I don't know how to say that, as high or as low as possible. I mean, lowest number, but yeah, higher up the ranking.
As possible. Yeah.
Yeah. So
no, if you're joining halfway or just after halfway, that's not too bad. Take it.
No, it's good. And well, actually, there's now only three races to go to score points. So we only have Brazil, which is a sprint weekend, and then we have Las Vegas and Abu Dhabi. So I think out of those three races for forecast, the most points you'll be able to score during that Brazil weekend because of being able to score the sprint points. But and actually that's not too long away, but we'll get there. Let's first do our little quiz where actually you get to guess from each of the point finishing positions how many people who played the game had those correct. So I already gave you a little trial question with how many people got the podium right. Out of 553 people, the question is, how many people do you think put Verstappen on P1 and thus got all the 25 points?
I don't know, 322.
It was 488. So yeah, it was in the 400. So yeah.
I figured, a little bit more variation. All right.
Let me see. Actually, I think after that, the most, there was actually 36 people who had a P1 for Perez. So yeah, there's usually, or at least the last few races, there weren't a lot of people that went with, it's usually Hamilton that gets the second most pick for P1. Yeah. And this time Hamilton got picked only 15 times. So so Verstappen 488, Perez 36, Hamilton 15, and there were 9 people that went with a Norris win. There were 3 people that went with a Leclerc win, and there was 1 person that went with a Sainz win, and there was 1 person who went with a Danny Ric win. So I would have loved to see that happening.
The bold strategy, but worked out.
We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago. I don't really recall for which race Carmen was our guest, but she said that the next time Danny Ric finishes on the podium in an AlphaTauri, she would get a Danny Ric tattoo. So we were all hoping here, not only for that reason, for Daniel to finish on the podium, but unfortunately that didn't happen. Anyway, let's move to P2. That was Hamilton. How many people do you think had Hamilton predicted on P2?
Go 172.
There you get really, really close. It was 138. Only 6 away. You're getting better at this, Carlos.
A little bit.
All right, we move to Leclerc, who finished on P3.
Probably somewhere similar. I don't know. Let's go 115.
Yeah, it was a bit fewer people, so it was only 58 people who had him there. So yeah, we go down a little bit with that. Signs on P4.
I thought that wasn't predicted too well, so I'm gonna go 42.
Okay. It was 57. That's
there you go. Closest one yet.
It's not far off. Yeah, we actually last weekend we had Maeve on who actually said she thinks about it this way. Think about how big is a chance that you would put somebody there at that place, and then sort of percentage wise try to. Anyway, I don't know if that works for you.
kind of what I'm doing. I'm just not, you know, that's not it.
Norris at P5.
I feel like people put him way higher than that. I don't know, 21.
Only 37, but that's good reasoning. There were actually 178 people who had Norris on P3, and there were 173 people who had him on P2, and like I said, 9 who had him on P1. So yeah, lots of people who had him on the podium, very few who went below that. So that was good reasoning. I had Norris on P2. You had Norris on P2. Sam had Norris on P2. There you go. It was a lot of people. Who had him there on the podium. Russell on P6.
57.
Sorry?
57.
57. It was 118, actually quite a lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but okay. A lot of people put Mercedes there in the middle position, so that, yeah. That gets us to Danny Ric on P7. That's the interesting one.
Yeah, it's so difficult to put in. It's probably not going to be high. Say 17.
It was even below that, so it was only 9 people who had that. There was a couple of people actually who went with higher Danny Ric positions. There were people on P6, P5. Well, like I said, somebody who picked him for the win. That was Ajit, actually, who's sometimes also on a guest on our show, but. Yeah, P7, 9 people. We move on to the second McLaren, who finished on P8. That was Piastri.
Let's go 37 people.
101.
Okay.
The only Williams that finished in the points on P9, Albon.
Just trying to think. 3.
Sorry? I think you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, I think my my headphones decided to die, which is fun.
Actually, quality now is much better.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so Albon, I'm gonna go 74 people said Albon P9.
Oh, you got very, very close. It was 78 people. And actually, it's interesting because last race, Albon finished P9 as well after the disqualifications in Austin. And it was only 25 people who had him there. So actually, a lot more people went with an Albon point finish. And 78 who put him there on P9. How many people put Ocon on P10?
Not many. I'm going to go, let's say, 7 people.
Actually, there's a lot of people who put the Alpines on the last finishing position. So there was 67 people who had Ocon on P10.
Yeah, that's a bit surprising, but all right.
It is. Although, I got to say, I also usually, well, the P10, I very often put an Alpine there. But all right, last one. Bonus question. Hamilton, his fastest lap.
Fifty-six people.
You're only 10 away from that. It was 46 people, so that's a decent guess. Yeah. So it's all right. Well, sometimes we have two people on the podcast and they play against one another, and we see who gets closest and then wins. And you know, obviously you've won it this weekend. But
P1 of one.
That closes off the scores for forecast of this weekend. Like I mentioned, Brazil is going to be a sprint weekend, so that means that you got to make blind picks again. Means you got to pick before the start of any free practice session. Well, we're only going to have one free practice session, make your picks early. Make them on Thursday preferably, and make sure you don't miss out on scoring points. The other thing before we end and say goodbye for next week's podcast, wanted to ask you, Carlos, if you can tell a little bit about your Instagram page. You run Racing Stat News, is that correct? What's the page and what's the idea behind it, and tell us a little bit what you're doing there.
All right, so I'm very active on the Instagram side of things. I have Racing News Stats, and I also have On the Overtake as well. My main is Racing News Stats, or RNS as I call it. Just posting stuff constantly. Typically do with like statistics. Started it a couple of years ago just for, you know, a safe place to hang out and chat, and it's grown over the years, and it's amassed quite a little following. Bit of everything is covered in there, so do go check me out if you want.
That's racing.news.stats, right? So if you just want to find it, and the On the Overtake is without any dots in between, right?
Correct. Yeah.
No, definitely do check it out. Lots of good stats, and I think I will not just speak for myself, but I guess for a lot of other forecast player that we love stats. So definitely do go check it out. And what are you looking forward to in the Brazil Grand Prix? Is there anything specifically that you look forward to?
It usually produces pretty good racing, so should be a good race. Brazil is one of those just like amazing circuits that we go to that consistently delivers bangers of Grand Prix. So pretty excited for the weekend. Sprint, so that means, you know, less time to hone in the setup and whatnot, so maybe more predictability, which I like. Should be really fun. I'm looking forward to it. So,
Well, we had a couple of upsets, of course, last year with the K-Mac pole, and then Russell winning both the sprint and his first ever Grand Prix. So, be good to see some. I hope we're going to witness a spectacle next week. And I'm saying next week, but we're recording now on Monday. It's already going to be this weekend, and. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the sprint, also the weekend feels all like it starts already with, you know, some meaningful sessions early on in the weekend. So definitely something to look forward to. So I hope everyone enjoys, and we see each other next week.